The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
The second half of the show live. Andy Staples joining us shortly. It's been a busy one. Let's get back to the calls and make up for lost time. Legend is up next. Good afternoon, Legend.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you, man.
Thank you.
Man, Paul, I tell you what, man, college football that went crazy, ain't it? It's like the wild, wild west, brother.
It is crazy.
Man, I thought it was going crazy when we had this free agency going on, which is what the transfer portal is. And then I really thought, I said, man, it's really went wild now, because not only does Alabama make millionaires at the NFL draft, but hell, we can make millionaires with just a commitment now. You know what I'm saying, Paul? We can say, hell, come to Alabama. And you're going to be a millionaire ever before you even think about the NFL draft. I mean, come on, Arch Manning, Peyton Manning's nephew. Alabama is the place to be for the next Manning. Come on. I mean, it's crazy, Paul. It's like the wild, wild west, man. Have you ever seen any – did you ever think you would see what you're seeing this year?
No. And by the way, be careful about Arch Manning. He's very fond of the guy who was the offensive coordinator last year at Alabama.
Well, we know Texas. You know, I don't have a problem with Texas coming into the league. I really don't, and here's the reason. I know you don't have a problem with them coming into the league because the fan base is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And that means great callers for the Feinbaum Show.
Oh, no, no. I am so glad to be a part of this journey, because the opportunity to hear Texas callers call in and then have almost every other fan base call in to attack them is going to be brilliant for us.
Yeah, I heard somebody say earlier in an earlier show that having Texas in your league is like being married to a stripper. He said it's a lot of fun, but they come with a lot of drama and a lot of baggage. They really do. And of all your callers, Paul, I was married to a stripper. I can tell you, it was fun, but there was a lot of drama and a lot of baggage, Paul.
Yeah, that fine line when it goes from a thrill to how come we're out of Advil.
Yeah, absolutely. When you wake up thinking, what in the hell have I got myself into? And the SEC could wake up in Texas one morning and say, what in the hell have we got ourselves into here? Because to me, Paul, Texas is like Notre Dame. There used to be. Nobody's afraid of Texas no more. Now, I love their running back, Robinson. The dude's outstanding. And Get Sharp, that is an outstanding move. But, man, ain't nobody afraid of Texas no more, Paul. There used to be. I still remember beating them down in the national championship game. I started feeling sorry for them. I mean, you can't even call yourself elite when your opponent starts to feel sorry for beating your sorry butt down in a championship game. I mean, and to me, Paul, A&M is even worse. You know what's worse than wanting to be? You know what's worse than I used to be, Paul?
Never was?
A wannabe.
A wannabe.
A delusional wannabe, Paul. A delusional wannabe. And that's what Texas A&M is. They're a delusional wannabe elite team, Paul. I mean, and what's funny about this is we've seen this as Alabama fans. This is little brother being afraid of big brother. This is all this is. This is A&M's problem, because I'm going to tell you, and I think you know this is true, when Oklahoma and Texas comes to the SEC, it'll be a very short time. They will be the second and third best team in the Southeastern Conference, Paul. It won't take them long at all. This is devastating for LSU, for Texas A&M, for Auburn, to me, because they just went from the third and fourth best teams in the conference to the fifth and sixth best teams in the conference. And that's a big difference, Paul. That is a huge difference, man. I mean, and Auburn, it's really in trouble for Auburn, man. What's their new coach name? Coach Hairline? What's his name, Paul?
I think it's, Gus Malzahn?
Well, here, I got a prediction for the Auburn coach, Paul, with this new alignment. He's going to have a breakdown, a meltdown, and eventually a sign in his yard telling him to get the hell out of town. I mean, that's what's coming,
man,
for these
legend,
schools.
You're just not being very neighborly here to our new friends.
I mean, I don't even know his damn name.
His name is Brian Harsin. I had the opportunity to interview him last Thursday in Hoover, Alabama.
Well, man, you was looking rough walking in Hoover last week, Paul. I had to tell you, man. ESPN better be playing my boys some money, man, because they working you hard. I see you walking in the hotel.
I didn't know the camera was going to be on me. I was like, figure I'll go upstairs and get dressed. It was a long day because we spent about 4 hours on the tarmac. And here's the bad news, okay? It's one thing to be on the it's one thing to be on the tarmac. It's another thing to be on the tarmac with Ryan McGee.
Oh my God! I know he was talking your ear off. That dude's like the Energizer Bunny, man. But hey, Paul, I'm gonna get off. I just want Texas to know: if you was a stripper, you wouldn't be a hot stripper. You would be J-Lo. You still look good in a uniform, in a bathing suit, but, man, you should have gave up the pole a long time ago. Peace out, Paul.
Okay, great to hear. Justin is up next in Brooklyn. Justin, thanks for holding on. Appreciate your patience.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are doing great.
Good. So I was calling to get your take on what the motivation is from these – you know, mid-level to lower-level SEC programs such as, like, the Arkansas and the Missouris and the LSUs as far as voting yes for Texas and Oklahoma to come into the SEC outside of the money.
Well, yeah, I mean, Justin, I think you've handcuffed me by, forbidding me to answer the question the only way you can answer it. It's all about money.
Right.
Because I think you're right, and Legend made a couple of good points there. When push comes to shove, there are a lot of programs that are not going to be helped by this move.
Right. Because now, you know, if you're a mid to lower level program, you're already having to go against Alabama, Georgia, you know, Florida, LSU, Texas A&M, even Auburn in recruiting. Now you're just adding Texas and Oklahoma. And
yeah, sometimes you can get a good schedule where if you're in the East, maybe you don't play Alabama or A&M or LSU in the West. That's hard to pull that off. But now it doesn't matter where you are, and we don't know how it's going to look, but you're not going to be able to escape Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. I mean, two or three of these guys, these schools are going to be on your schedule. And if you get a bad rotation one year, you could be in a lot of trouble.
That could cost you a playoff spot potentially.
Yeah.
If you've got four, losses stacking up.
Or your
and
job.
Also from the money, right, or your job. And from the money standpoint, yeah, you might be bringing in an extra $10 or $15 million a year. But when you're having to spend the money on the back end every year, constantly upgrading facilities, constantly spending more money in recruiting, is that profit really worth the hassle?
Yeah, I mean, Justin, when you get right down to it, there's only so many spots. And no matter how much money you have and how much you spend to upgrade your facilities and to pay your coach, in this league now, someone is going to be spending more.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Great to hear from you. Appreciate it. Jeremy is up next. Jeremy is in Atlanta. Thanks for holding on. I know it's been a long wait today for a lot of folks because we've had a lot of guests, but welcome to the show.
Hey, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call today. It's been about a year to the day, actually, since I last called in. We talked about the season potentially being pushed back due to COVID and then cross-divisional schedule changes.
Right.
If it got delayed. But today I want to talk about SEC realignment. If and when Texas and OU come in, if Greg Sankey came to you and was like, hey, Paul, what do you think we should do between these two options? Option one, adding Texas and OU to the west and pushing Bama and Auburn to the east, resulting in 2 8-team divisions. Or option two, 4 pods, 4 teams based on geographic location. For example, one would be Bama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Kentucky. Which one would you choose, Paul? And which one do you think would happen?
Yeah, Jeremy, I'm a traditionalist, so I gravitate to East versus West, although I'm not sure how realistic that is. Do you? There's so many problems with that because of what we just got through talking about. If you're in the East and we move it to 9 conference games, how do you manage that?
Yeah, each way there's an issue. Yeah, the thing I wanted to get your take on.
Yeah, I don't know yet because there's so many things going on. I really haven't talked to anybody in any great detail who's looked at these models. I'm sure there are people right now who are studying it. But, I mean, the thing I like about the SEC now is forget last year. That was an outlier. But you know what the schedule looks like, and you can plan accordingly. But I don't know. Have you put any of this in your head to paper? Because I can't quite figure out how you do that unless, I do think 9 conference games is mandatory. I don't know how you get around without that.
Yeah, I've read that you could push it to 10 SEC if you did the pods. And there would be, there's 3 pod teams and then 2-2-2 with the other pods.
Do you know why the conference has always resisted going to 9?
No, can you tell me?
I think I do. The reason for that is that you're hurting your middle of the pack to lower division teams to get to a bowl game, because that's really critically important to a lot of programs. And if you go to 10 conference games, you're going to torpedo a lot of programs in the 10 to 16 range.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
You could get a schedule that, let's say, like Tennessee, for example, trying to rebuild a program. And if you end up with a schedule with Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, and then you just get a bad break and end up with Oklahoma and Texas A&M from the other side, I mean, what chance do you have as you're trying to build a program?
That's 6 losses right there. Yeah, it'll be tough.
Yeah, hey, thanks for the call. And I don't know, I really don't know where all this is going to mean for the first game of the year or whatever. There's so much to digest, and we have a college football season about to begin. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Bob Stoops has chimed in on his former school's ascension to the SEC, saying it's a good and necessary move. Bob writing an op-ed in a couple of Oklahoma newspapers. Now that he's a broadcaster, didn't realize he was also a writer. Although I did read his book a couple of years ago. The Odyssey, it is not. James is up next in Omaha, Nebraska. Hello, James. James, you there? Go right ahead.
Yeah, Paul, this is James here in Omaha, Nebraska. How's it going?
It is going great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I've been haven't really caught your show. I'm a huge Oklahoma fan living here in Nebraska, which is kind of tough with the rivalry we used to have with the Cornhuskers. But listening to you guys talk, I'm hearing a lot about Texas. What you'll have to get used to is Texas is all talk. They don't produce on the field. We've owned them, owned the Big 12, and they're going to come in talking, but it'll eventually die down after a little while because they won't have success in the SEC. I don't care who's coaching them or whatever, they're underachievers. So you just have to get used to it, used to the callers. We got used to it. We just go on the field and beat them every year. So what do you think about Texas' chance in the SEC?
Well, I think we're a little bit – it's a little difficult to say, but I do know what you're talking about. I remember watching a lot of those Nebraska-Texas games. Hey, thank you for joining us. Dora is in Kentucky, and you are on the air. Hello, Dora. Go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Dora, we're doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Listen, I have a question. Will Oklahoma be in the east and Texas in the west? Is that how they're going to do that?
We don't know the answer to that yet. We don't know. I mean, it's just a little premature to guess.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, all roads, I heard what Will had to say about Texas and all that. And I'm a graduate of the University of Tennessee, so there's only one big orange in my life, and that resides in Knoxville. All roads lead to the national championship through Tuscaloosa, through Baton Rouge, through Gainesville, through Knoxville. Don't come in trying to run things because you're new. And I appreciate you all coming, but there's one big orange and there's one big UT, and that's the University of Tennessee in Knoxville.
I hear you. Hey, thank you
and
so much.
And that's it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
I grew up saying UT Knoxville, not UT Austin. Chris is in Fort Worth, Texas. Chris, thank you for the call. Good afternoon.
Hey. Calling to give everybody in SEC land a big old heads up about people like Will from Austin. Got to remind everybody, including Will, that over the last 10 years, Texas was only the fifth best school in the Big 12. They couldn't get past TCU and Kansas State on a regular basis, and they even lost to Kansas 5 years ago.
Well,
can you imagine how
game.
He'd respond if he had a good team?
Well, I want you to explain this, Chris. You live out there. I think I understand the Texas mentality, but can you explain it to the rest of us?
Yeah, guys. I mean, look, there's a reason that A&M and Missouri left for the SEC. There's a reason Nebraska went to the Big Ten and Colorado went to the Pac-12. I mean, this team has won two national championships in the last 75 years, but they act like when they walked all over TCU that they should be handed that trophy. This isn't just the fans. This is the boosters. This is the administration. They expect, because they're Texas, everything should be handed to them. When you read the Austin American-Statesman Sunday after a loss, they're not blaming planning. They're not blaming getting the team conditioned. They're blaming everybody else. The referees, they didn't call a holding penalty at 3:47 into the third quarter, and that's why they lost. I mean, you're talking about this team that thinks that just because they're Texas, they automatically deserve a top-10 ranking walking into every season. It's a sense of entitlement because they're from Austin. They get everything handed to them. I mean, you heard it himself. Yeah, they haven't been accepted to the SEC, but now the SEC runs through Austin, Texas.
Hey, thank you. Chris, thank you for sharing that. We have a lot of education before this happens. Brett is up next in Texas. Hey, Brett, good afternoon to you.
Oh, what's up?
We are doing well. Thank you.
First time caller, Paul. And what I'd like to say, I am from Texas. My daddy raised me right. I'm a Longhorn fan. Listen, it's an honor and a privilege and a joy to be a part of not just the SEC, but the Paul Finebaum family. And so I want to start off by saying thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for letting us in.
No. Listen, I've had a lot of fun over the years. I first started joshing with Texas fans after the 2009 National Championship at the Rose Bowl when Colt got hurt. And it's been fun ever since.
Hey, a lot of teams have had fun at our expense, and that's all well and good. It's all a game. It's fun. What I wanted to call and say, the last guy that was on the phone, the Cornhusker in Boomer Sooner clothing or opposite, or I'm not sure really where his hatred actually probably comes from. But here's the difference in the two deals and why they play second fiddle, Oklahoma, in this deal. Texas brings not only one, not two, but three hated rivalries to the SEC when they come. A lot of times you don't forget about, or a lot of times you don't remember about that deep rivalry and hatred that Arkansas has in those battles from the Southwest Conference days. So there's three natural rivalries that are just going to be dynamic in the SEC, and I can't wait for those to be relit. As for how Oklahoma has owned Texas, that last caller, I would guess, was probably about a 55 to 60-year-old. He's got a solid 50 or 60 more years before Oklahoma were able to tie up any kind of head-to-head series that they've got going with Texas. It's just insane how bad Texas from start to finish has dominated Oklahoma. And if he wants to figure out what it's truly like to be little brother, he doesn't have to reach out very far anymore because all the guys in College Station will be able to answer that question for him. Paul, man, I can't wait for this. Thank you so much. I think it's going to be so fun. I hope everybody enjoys Texas and Oklahoma and the SEC as much as I think we will enjoy being in the SEC.
Thanks, Brett. I have to say, I've heard it all, but a Texas fan going all-time series rivalry against Oklahoma, we are in new territory. I didn't think I'd ever hear something like that. We're up against a break. Andy Staples will bring a little levity to the program here in a minute from The Athletic, and then more of your phone calls right here. We're coming back.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
It's always great to welcome Andy Staples from The Athletic to our program. And Andy, 27 days ago, we talked about NIL being one of the most revolutionary moments in college athletic history, and now we're on the verge of the SEC becoming a super conference. We don't know what else is out there, but just your reflections on really the last 7 days.
Those days were quaint. And I remember thinking all up until about 6 days ago that Texas, if you even brought up the idea of playing in the SEC to them, you'd get the, well, I never, and then the person would just faint. You know, that was the attitude toward the SEC from Texas for years and years and years. And then something has changed in the last couple of years where, oh, no, they're all on board. They want to come. Oklahoma wants to come. And, I mean, it just tells you how much has changed even in the 10 years since the last round of realignment. It's a totally different landscape now.
So Andy, I know you've written about mega mergers out there, but, you know, give us the lay of the land in terms of college football right now and college athletics and how you see, you know, we know where the SEC is. When it happens, we're not sure. But what about the rest of the world?
Well, that's the thing. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, the eight remaining Big 12 teams, they hold the keys to a lot of this with what they want to do. The thing is, they want some other leagues to come in and scoop them up. I'm not sure that's going to happen, and I'm not sure that's worth it for those other leagues. Because right now, it's probably not a great idea to take anybody who isn't going to pay for themselves. If you're going to take somebody, you don't want to take someone who's going to take money out of the pockets of your current members. I don't think you're going to get approval for that. So there aren't a lot of moves that can be made if you're the Big Ten, if you're the ACC, or if you're the Pac-12. And that puts those eight who remain in a really weird spot. Because they'd love for them to pick them up. You know, Iowa State and Kansas, they're AAU members. That would fit the academic profile of the Big Ten. Geographically, they'd fit in the Big Ten. Would they pay for themselves in the Big Ten? No, they wouldn't. So why would the Big Ten members want them? And, you know, if the Big Ten wants to, they could just stand pat at 14, make lots of money. Financially, they'd still compete with the new SEC. So that's not one that really needs to worry unless they just really want to be competitive on the field and even more competitive on the balance sheet with the new SEC. That's why I wrote they need to take half the Pac-12 because those schools do fit academically. Those are big brands like USC and Oregon and Washington that would pay for themselves. And you know, I think Fox would pay a pretty penny to be the exclusive home of that league, of that enlarged Big Ten, just as the SEC is going to get a lot of money from ESPN. So that ESPN will be the exclusive home of the SEC. That's about the only real big swing I can see. The other big question, Paul, for me is does the grant of rights in the ACC hold up? It runs with this ESPN contract through 2036, which means those schools should be tied together theoretically until that time. But if anybody wanted to challenge it, would Clemson want to go to the SEC? Would Florida State want to try to go to the SEC? If that thing holds up, I don't know that you see complete rearrangement of everything. If somehow it didn't, then things would get really interesting.
Andy, it is great that the SEC is moving toward 16 or toward whatever number we come up with, but ultimately you have to have competition that seemingly equitable to the schools. Now that's a matter of opinion. So right now, if it ends at 16, let me get back to the SEC and OU and Texas move into this party a little earlier than expected. What are you hearing in relation to how the competition works?
Well, we were hearing that with the 14 team model, they were potentially going to move to pods, that there were a lot of schools within the SEC that wanted to change the scheduling format. Because let's be honest, you have situations where teams are playing twice every 10 years. Like I remember doing a story a couple of years ago when Gus Malzahn was coaching Auburn. He'd been in the league 13 years and he'd never coached in Gainesville until that year. Like that's just weird. It shouldn't be like that. And so I think they were already moving towards something different. This makes it very convenient for them to move towards something different. I think the most logical way to do it is you have four pods of four. And then you play everybody in your pod every year. And then you have one fixed non-pod opponent. And then you would rotate through the other pods. And then you'd have to do some shuffling there in the years where your fixed opponent is in the pod you're playing. But they could get that part figured out. And you'd be cycling through the league once every 3 years. And everybody would get to play everybody in the league if they played for 3 or 4 years in the SEC. I think that would actually feel like more of a league than the current arrangement does. Because, like, from a football perspective, it doesn't feel like Texas A&M and Georgia are in the same conference. It doesn't feel like Florida and Auburn are in the same conference. And so I do think they can come up with a way that makes it a little more tolerable than it is now even. So it's weird that adding two teams might let you do that, but I think they could.
So, Andy, if you got the call from Birmingham today and said, okay, give me the four pods, what are they?
No, listen, Paul, I just want someone to sell the streaming rights to the meeting in Destin where that gets figured out, because that's a fist fight right there. I can't wait for that. And I don't know what they do. I mean, you know, I'm in Gainesville. I assume, you know, Florida and Georgia you'd think would be in the same pod. Would you do Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and Tennessee, and then have Georgia's fixed opponent be Auburn, Florida's fixed opponent be LSU? I don't know if you do that. I know Florida and LSU are kind of sick of playing one another, so maybe they want something different right now. But I just would love to be a fly in the wall of that meeting, because if Texas and Oklahoma thought the Big 12 was a contentious conference when people got upset, they have no idea.
And just to make it more interesting, that the A&M people already have a little bit of anxiety, so they'll be watching how they land very, very carefully.
Can I make a public service announcement to the A&M fans, by the way?
Would.
And I think there's a lot of you who feel the same way I do. I think it's a very vocal minority that's complaining about Texas coming on board. But the dynamics of your relationship with Texas are so different than they were when you left Texas behind in the Big 12. We were joking on my podcast about, instead of Texas fans chanting SEC, SEC, they may as well point to the opposing fans at Kyle Field and say, you were right, you were right. And it's basically like two kids that went to middle school together and then went to different high schools. And the kid who was cool in middle school is now transferring into the high school of the kid who was a dork in middle school. Except the kid who was a dork in middle school is now super cool. Like, he's now hanging out at the cool kids table with Alabama and LSU and Georgia and Auburn. And so Texas is going to come in with this lunch tray, and Texas A&M is going to be like, sup, brah? Welcome. This is Big Al here. This is Alligator, Mike the Tiger, Aubie. I'm sure you've heard of him. You want a seat? I mean, you got to sit down at the end, but you can sit there.
Andy, finally, it was already tough if you were in the middle to lower echelons of the SEC. And, you know, some of it depends on what you just got through talking about. But how much more difficult, other than the ledger where money is going to be flowing in, will it be for what had been 10 through 14, the program's trying to turn it around with a new coach?
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And like, Missouri's changing ADs right now, and the person who comes in is going to be expected to find a way to help Missouri be competitive in this new mega conference. And that's going to be hard to do. But the thing is, as long as you hire good coaches and you resource your program well, you can still be successful. I don't think Kentucky, Missouri, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, they're not thinking in terms of national championships. They can still have very good seasons. And the thing is, in this league, in the league that will be constituted, like, if you have a 2014 Mississippi State style season, you're in the playoff. And that's a great year. That's a year that everybody remembers forever. So if the playoff winds up being what we think it's going to be, the 12-team playoff with six at-large spots, then in those years where you have a really special year at a Mississippi State or a Kentucky or an Arkansas, it can put you in the playoff, and that's a legendary team. And I think that's something to root for, because those programs are not rooting or not expecting national titles anyway. They're expecting, hey, are we going to have a good year this year? Well, you can make the playoff in that league if the playoff winds up being what we think it's going to be.
Andy Staples with some great suggestions. Andy, thank you. Thank you very much. As always, it's a fantastic conversation. And we are heading to the break on what's already been a busy, busy show. I know we'll get back to your phone calls in a moment. But right now, we are saying we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we welcome all of you back. And Frank is up next in Connecticut. Frank, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Paul, I'm calling. Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air, Frank.
Okay, thanks, Paul. I'm actually calling in regard to, or actually in response to that caller you had earlier from Austin, Texas. Actually, I had two comments, one in the form of a question and one short comment. I would ask him, you know, how in the world has the SEC ever survived to this point without Texas? And the other is this, you know, where if I was an advocate of Texas or a fan, I couldn't wait for them to get to the SEC. Now they can play 7-5 football and get a lot more money. Thanks for listening to my call, Paul.
Well done, Frank. Thank you very much. Jeff is in Georgia, you're on the air. Hello, Jeff. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing today?
We have been great. Thank you.
Yes. I was calling to say, with this new lineup, if they move Alabama and Auburn to the east and Missouri to the west, both sides get stronger.
I think you're right about that. I think what Andy said is the most realistic, that we end up not having divisions, but
having pods.
Yeah.
I love that too.
Yeah.
You play your three in your pod.
Yeah. I think that makes more sense.
In 2 years, you're playing everybody in the SEC then.
Right. Yeah, and there's really nothing. At this point, there's no way to do the divisions that makes any sense. I mean, you can't put Georgia, Florida, Alabama, and Auburn in the same division. I mean, it's just, what's the point?
No, you can't. You get Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, Auburn. That's one of them. You got Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, Vanderbilt, and the other one. Out west, you have Oklahoma, Missouri, Texas A&M, and Mississippi. And in the bottom, you got Texas, Arkansas, LSU, and Mississippi State.
I think that makes perfect sense. You should be in charge of it, Jeff. Thank you very much. Martin is up next in Florida. Martin, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. Am I coming up?
Yeah, Martin, you are not only are you coming up, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Oh, hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call, Paul. Hey, I want to ask one thing. Did anybody ever tell Oklahoma and Texas that they're going to actually have to play defense if they come into the SEC?
No, that has not happened yet.
And then, secondly, in just all seriousness, I just don't get, you know, like I was so appalled by when they moved West Virginia into the Big 12 and all that. I just don't, like, what's next? Like, say USC, are they going to want to join the SEC in a few years? I mean, where does it stop? I just don't get it. Just this shifting because another team just, you know, they're, you know, in the Southwest or, you know, Texas or whatever, and now they just want to join the SEC because it's the best. I mean, I just don't get where this is going to end. I mean, if you just, like, we're unhappy, we want to change conferences. I mean, is it going to ever, when's it going to end? I just don't get it.
It's a good question to head to the final hour with. Thank you very much. We'll digest that one in a minute. More guests to come. Busy show, to say the least. It is still late July, and things are cooking here.
Thanks for taking my call.